Welcome to Career Professionals of Canada Career Week Summit Beyond 2014, with a specific focus on managing your career for the future. My name is Iris Jacobson, and I'm a career transition consultant at Choiceful Change Career Transition Services based in Toronto. I'll be facilitating our discussion today with our four panel experts. Each one of them will bring expertise and perspective to a different and complementary aspect of career management. Lori-Ann Jazvak, who is a certified resume strategist and freelance creative writer at Creative Horizons Communications in Hamilton, will be our first expert. Lori will speak about personal career branding. Then, Tara Orchard, who is a career and business coach and social networking expert based in Kitchener, will discuss the impact of labor market trends. Lotta Struing, an HR career consultant and coach at Lasting Solutions HR Consulting and Coaching North of Toronto, will demonstrate why one's resume style has to change. And Maureen Farmer, also a career and HR consultant at Word Right Career and HR Consulting in Halifax, will focus on building and sustaining references. Our format will allow each expert to discuss their strategies, thoughts, and opinions on their specific topic for about 5 minutes. After this, there'll be time for each expert to answer 1 to 2 questions. Now, before we begin, I would like to reflect on the importance of future focus as we pursue the challenges of career transition and the job search. No longer is a degree or a diploma the ticket to landing one's dream job. The marketplace is crowded and complex, and full-time work is often replaced by precarious contracts cobbled together to create a viable income. For the first time in history, parents and their children are actually competing for the same jobs. So while today's climate is pretty tough, it also provides new fields of expertise and a new range of work styles that we could not have imagined 20 years ago. To succeed in 2014 and into the future, we will need to be ready with a strong sense of our personal brands, a keen understanding of market trends, and ability to differentiate ourselves through collateral such as resumes, portfolios, and our online presence, and a solid strategy for connecting with the right people who will support and refer us through the process. So let's get started with our panel to delve into these interesting and important issues. I'd like to start by asking Lori-Ann if she'd go first with her personal topic of career branding.
Thank you very much, Iris. Personal career branding. Today, personal branding has become an increasingly important concept to the survival and maintenance of our careers. But what does personal career branding mean? Tom Peters' book, Fast Company, quickly gained recognition by featuring this concept as an innovative way for professionals to skillfully manage their careers. Personal career branding is vital not only for entrepreneurs and business owners, it is also very critical for job seekers, career changers, students, and professionals of all walks of life. We must disperse the myth that branding is just for giant corporations or commercial products. It is an important investment tool that everyone needs to leverage in order to build their careers and maintain a competitive edge. Dan Schauble, leading personal branding expert and guru for Gen Y, claims that the most important ingredient for career success is personal branding. Schauble has stated in an interview by Marla Tabaka, a small business advisor and speaker, that personal branding is essentially how we market ourselves to others or how we sell ourselves. Personal career branding is such an essential tool for career development because job seekers often have difficulty selling themselves, particularly within our highly competitive and rapidly changing job market, which can often hinder career success. Sharon Graham, Canada's career strategist, effectively defines personal career brand as the overall representation that your client consistently makes to the public. Remember that the way you define personal brand can be quite different from how someone else views personal branding. So what is the key, essentially, to personal branding? It is primarily knowing how you are perceived by others. What it aims to establish is allowing people to know what you stand for. It is essentially reflective of the philosophy that we are CEOs of our own companies. This means that we need to reflect our own head marketer of the brand called you and what you do that adds value, meaning your strengths and most personal traits. Your brand identity then can be reflected visually in the creative appearance of a resume, personal presentation, and even apparel. A personal career brand is effective when his or her value proposition reflects and supports their brand identity. Now let's talk about some strategies. To actively engage in personal branding, here are some strategies that professionals can employ. I like to use the method of discover, create, communicate, and maintain. The first step is discovering. So this means exploring and reflecting on what is most important to you in life and what cause do you support. This will indicate your values. This will involve learning about yourself, your mission, unique attributes, and the things that matter to you the most. Crafting a personal branding statement which communicates who you are in the workplace is important. Consider your outlook on the world and perhaps write down your vision and mission as part of a unique vision statement. Think about and write down your specific career goals and how do you want to make a significant difference? What do you intend to achieve? Select and specialize in a niche. Recognize your brand attributes, then apply them to your professional history. For instance, are you a dynamic communicator or leader? And how do others see you? The second step is create. Create your personal branding toolkit, which can involve a blog, website, business cards, resume, video resume, reference document, cover letter, a portfolio, or a combination of these. Your brand must be consistent, reinforce each part of your toolkit. The third step is very important because without this step, your brand does not exist. Communicating. Communicate your brand by attending professional networking events, writing creative articles for magazines, designing your own website and media sites, commenting on blogs, giving your professional opinion, and connecting with people on social networks, which is very important. And the last step is maintain. Always strive to update and represent the current and authentic brand you. Build a diverse skill set and increase your expertise. Monitor your brand online to ensure that all conversations about you are positive and factual using a combination of tools on the internet and social media networks such as Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Allow others to evaluate your brand from time to time in order to align with shifting industry trends and your evolving career. What are the advantages of personal career branding, you may ask? Well, through personal branding, you're taking charge of your career development and personal growth while specializing in your niche. It allows you to promote yourself, become an expert, and build solid relationships while gaining confidence in your abilities to succeed, both professionally and personally. I believe that personal branding allows you to become a critical asset to your organization. By developing an authentic and respectable image and reputation, your career brand reflects your promise of excellence and represents the distinctive characteristics that set you apart from other professionals. It reflects the essence of who you are, what you can do for an employer, and your potential for the future. And the last few points I like to stress is that it is not an overnight process, but requires an ardent commitment and focus to continually distinguish one's brand in today's competitive market, keeping it fresh and measuring your brand regularly. Your actions must align with your words and online presence. Otherwise, doing things that go against your brand can jeopardize your reputation and credibility. So consistently developing your strengths and assessing your values while continuously networking with other professionals will revitalize your growth and allow you to manage your career success. Well, this wraps up my discussion of personal career branding. I hope you have enjoyed my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lorianne. That was really valuable and interesting. And now we'll move on to Tara Orchard. Tara will discuss the impact of labor market trends.
Thank you very much, Iris. I appreciate the opportunity to talk today. I'm glad I get to discuss the topic of labor market because I think it's important and often overlooked component of career planning because the labor market trends really impact your future planning. So I'm going to talk today a little bit about the labor market and how it impacts career futures. I always like to say that career futures are really built one step at a time. As Lorianne was just discussing, your brand is an important factor in how you will showcase yourself today and in the future. And as part of building your brand, understanding the labor market can help you effectively position and present yourself. So I thought it would be helpful to step back for a moment and put into context the changes that we're seeing in the labor market over the past few years and expect to see going into the future. Career theorist John Krumbholz talks about what he termed the planned happenstance theory of careers. Theorist Jim Bright, he's identified a career chaos theory of career development. The idea behind these theories is that to find and build a happy and successful career, you have to be open You have to see opportunities as they emerge and prepare yourself for when those opportunities arise in front of you. Clearly, both of those trends are really relevant today, as we're seeing jobs that didn't exist a few years ago exist, and jobs that exist today may not be available tomorrow. So the ability to position yourself well so that you're ready for changes is what's going to help you navigate the changing labor market. This does not mean that you can't plan. You can sit back and say, here's a 2 or 3 year plan. But your plan has to include understanding the labor market and how labor market trends are going to impact your plans for the future. So let's take a look at the labor market. It was not that long ago when we began what we call the post-industrial revolution. Then we saw the information era. And now we find ourselves watching the changes from the Great Recession. Many of these changes have been underway since the 1990s. But it was in the mid-2000s when these changes began to accelerate. The recession, combined with emerging technologies, caused a rapid disruption in Canada. And this resulted in a sharp turn in the economy and then the labor market. The timing of this coincided with the emergence of the millennial generation who had, and this is a quote from an author, Dan Tapscott, grown up digital, and the millennials were well positioned to take advantage of these changes. What's important is that everybody understand these changes. So the combination of events of the recession, technology changes, a new generation resulted in changes to the structure and the composition of how people work, the availability of work, and the makeup of the labor force itself. Where in the past economic and labor market changes emerged more slowly and often in isolation, so they took a long time to change, and they changed in certain parts or certain communities or certain areas of the country at once, this time around the change has been both rapid and global. And this has disrupted many people, many economies, many types of jobs at the same time, increasing competition for people in certain sectors. What does the Canadian labor market look like today? I'm going to give you a quick snapshot of the labor market. Most of the raw numbers of the jobs lost during the Great Recession have returned, but things look different. First off, there are more people in the labor market and not as many jobs per person. The jobs are also different, and how people work is different. Over the past 12 months, full-time jobs have not grown. They've actually declined by 3,100. While part-time employment has increased by over 118,000. You may have seen the job reports between July and August from Stats Canada that said there was an increase in self-employment of 86,000 at the same time as a decrease in private sector jobs of 111,000, both of which were monthly records. In the first half of 2014, a total of 95,000 jobs were added to the Canadian economy, but 60% of those were part-time. The economy continues to remain volatile for both people, industries, sectors, and regions. And the jobs continue to change. Even full-time jobs look different. Although overall 80% of jobs are full-time, it does not mean that they're permanent full-time. In Ontario alone, as much as 40% of the workforce is considered to be in precarious jobs. Those are jobs without stability, including seasonal work, contingent, temporary, and self-employment. Short-term tenure is replacing jobs for life, many expecting tenures of 3 or fewer years. Work hours and flexibility have changed from 9 to 5 to jobs that are all over the place at all times. Work location has also changed from the office to the coffee shop, home, or anywhere that there is a Wi-Fi connection. Jobs are and look different. And the talent or labor pool has changed. There's a growing increase in the number of foreign-born workers. 15% of the available Canadian workforce were born outside Canada, and these numbers are steadily increasing. The impact of the millennial generation is being felt more and more as they are edging closer to becoming the dominant workforce. Older workers, the baby boomers, are remaining healthier and seeking to work into retirement, although often part-time. The workforce in Canada is more educated and have more qualifications required for jobs compared to any time in history. Unfortunately, sometimes education and training don't always match the available jobs. What we have is a technology-fueled, global, highly educated, flexible, and freelance workforce emerging as a dominant force in the Canadian labor market. Job seekers who can't see and position themselves for these changes could be at a disadvantage. Some of the trends we're seeing in employment, summarize them. We're seeing more serial jobs, so a job after a job after a job, and multiple jobs, jobs at the same time, often multiple jobs and serial jobs together. Short-term employment contingent employment, contract work, self-employment. And we're seeing the emergence of what's called the makers generation or the inventors generation. So people who are creating opportunities for themselves, often products, but also ideas. Some of the trends impacting employment today, labor and skill shortages in certain areas, relocation and mobility being necessary to adjust to where the jobs are being created, more virtual employment, continued globalization, and the emergence of technologies such as robots and 3D printing that are impacting who can work and how and where they can work. A big picture look at some of the jobs we see emerging. We're looking at three or four kinds of trends. So one of the trends we're looking at is the emergence of technical jobs, which we've seen, but also hands-on service delivery jobs and creative jobs. Among the top job trends, we're expecting in the next few years, more financial advisors and accountants, more healthcare workers, including doctors, nurses, healthcare aides, and technologists, biomedical, including research, personal services, from dental hygienists to recreation planners, trainers, nutritionists, and more, civil engineers, analysts, there's all that data being created, of course, software developers, and skilled trades and transportation. To take advantage of the changing labor market, I talk about six shifts that people need to make. The first shift is people need to be able to demonstrate and understand shifts, paradigm shifts. You need to be able to see and anticipate and show an employer that you see the changes in the future. People need to invest in constant education, training, and upgrading and gaining new experiences. Even if you're employed, trying to branch out. The ability to demonstrate technology adaptation. All industries are going to be impacted by technology, and it's going to be important for people to stay up to date and aware of those changes. Then we get to what was talked about earlier today, building, managing, and showcasing your identity or branding. The ability to present yourself consistently across many sectors, across your networks on an ongoing basis. And tied to that is being networking savvy so that you can see and be seen. And then the last one, which I find particularly important, is the ability to embrace change, be creative, adaptable, and flexible. This is the emerging labor market, and these trends we're going to continue to see for a while. People who can understand them should be able to adapt to the changing labor market. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Tara. I've really built very well on Lorianne's presentation about career branding. Now we'll move along to Lotta Strewing. Lotta will demonstrate why one's resume style has to change.
Thanks so much, Iris. And what Lorianne and Tara have both mentioned plays very nicely into what I have to talk about in regards to your resume and why your resume has to change. And I do have five compelling reasons that you should be changing your resume. This goes back to having been in HR and career strategy for many years. I've seen the changes in recruitment that have occurred firsthand, and I understand why resumes have to change. I'd like to be able to take the next few minutes to provide you insights as to how things used to be, because I believe it will help you understand why you have to change your resume and how to make the changes necessary. The major reasons for changes are significantly impacted by globalization, demographic shifts, changing skill requirements, and as Tara also discussed, the labor market trends. To begin, in the past, recruiters and HR professionals screened resumes in full, and they kept them on file for future reference. And back then, we had the time and the space to do it. When a job opening came up, we reviewed the resumes on hand first before we even posted a job. And for every unsolicited resume that came in, we sent a note letting the individual know we had their resume and that we would keep it on file for 3 or 6 months, depending on where we were working. Any recruiter who remembers those days would agree that those days were much more civilized times. Now, with time and resources having been slashed dramatically and resume volume, which has increased substantially, the time to review resumes is substantially reduced. Often recruiters have hundreds of resumes to review for a single opening. In many cases, they have multiple openings at one time, so they have to scan resumes quickly. And it's approximately 10 to 20 seconds per resume to determine if a candidate meets the initial criteria. Recruiters have eagle eyes, and they are trained to look for keywords. Therefore, they're very focused on the position's requirements and must use them to get through a significant volume of resumes that they have. Therefore, if your resume does not meet the scan test, it gets overlooked despite how qualified you may be for a role. In the past, companies typically hired for fit first and then trained employees for skills. It was most important that new employees had the potential to work well with others and then mirror the company's values. A complete orientation was often provided, and there was a significant amount of money for training, budgets, and time to learn. Now fast forward, training budgets have been slashed just like all other aspects in business. We have just-in-time production for everything, not just manufacturing, but all business processes. With significantly reduced training budgets and our global, very fast-paced environment, new employees must hit the ground running with the skills that they need in the workplace. Therefore, you must display your required skills on your resume, where recruiters can see them very quickly. Third, in the past, it was not often a challenge to find the right candidates because fit for the role was the major requirement. So finding a candidate was much easier than having to find candidates with the right fit and the exact skills, which is what is needed today. Also, today, with the expectation of finding a candidate with the right skills and internal fit for the organization, jobs are much harder to fill. On top of this, when someone gives their resignation notice, their departure leaves a much bigger gap because companies are running very lean compared to how they used to operate. The pressure to fill roles accurately is much more significant than it ever has been. For your resume to stand out above the crowd and be noticed, it needs to be branded effectively, which is something we have not seen in the past. Lorianne reviewed this very effectively earlier. Fourth, in the past, resumes were job description-based, outlining the duties and responsibilities of what your role entailed. They contained no information about how well you performed your responsibilities. Today, resumes are accomplishment-based, and they have to be, outlining the results that you've provided in previous roles. Accomplishment statements provide an employer with proof that you can hit the ground running and can answer their needs quickly without ever meeting you. Resumes that have accomplishment statements quickly provide the information a recruiter is looking for, which assists them when they are scanning the documents. The fifth reason to change your resume is that in the past, generic resumes were widely accepted. But for me, even years ago, the customized resumes and cover letters that demonstrated effort and insight always stood out above the others. They were memorable. Today, it's expected that your resume is customized for the job you're applying for. I personally believe that it's necessary to have a good standard resume to begin with. However, to be noticed in a short time frame, you must tweak your resume to capture the recruiter's attention and ensure it is focused and customized for every job you're applying for. In the end, the changes needed must include a strong connection with the recruiter and your resume. This can be accomplished by creating a resume that is customized on a specific role that you're applying for, be branded to differentiate you from anyone else out there, and demonstrate your skills and experience through the use of accomplishment statements. Thanks very much, Iris.
Thank you very much, Lotta. Boy, things are really challenging for folks out in the job market, but it sounds like if they take the steps you're recommending, they're also really understanding their value and their accomplishments, and it's going to position them better for the interview and the next steps as well. So really well articulated. Thank you.
And our next expert will be Maureen Farmer. Maureen will focus on building and sustaining references.
Well, thank you very much, Iris, and everyone else on the panel. Excellent information. I've been madly taking notes, so I'll have this for my own files. This topic fits very nicely into this presentation because I believe from my own experience and from the research I've done that job candidates, job seekers, underestimate the strategic value of references. So this short talk will appeal to job seekers at any level in any profession. I will explain why you need to plan those references before you even start the job search. So with that, I just want to let the listeners know how very important it is to have references selected and permission to use them before applying for the position. So, you know, most companies will ask for references. You need to have them ready. If you don't, this will slow down the recruitment process. If it takes too long, the employer may move to the next person on their list, and your opportunity may be lost. So be prepared and ensure that you have the proper contact information for your references. So understand what companies can and can't say. And as we know, we live in a fairly litigious society today. Employers are concerned about this. So it's important to understand what companies can and cannot say when it comes to a previous employee. And of course, it will usually depend on company policy. Some companies will only confirm information that is given to them. However, if a company policy prohibits employees from providing a reference, you can always ask a trusted source at that company, or perhaps a former manager, if they can provide a character reference, because a character reference is better than no reference at all. A trend in reference and background check has to do with September the 11th, 2001, and how that changed what employers are looking for in a new employees. So in response to 9/11, obviously changed the world in many ways, and one is that it made employers concerned about who they allow on their premises. Criminal record checks were not done before 9/11, and now most companies will require a criminal check be done before being hired. If you have a criminal charge that can be pardoned on your record, so for example, impaired driving from, it could be a very long time ago, or it could be from 6 months ago, we suggest that you get this pardoned as soon as possible. Also ensure you have a copy of the criminal record that you must obtain from your local police department. And it's better to advise a potential employer up front and show them the conviction rather than wait. And I know people will have mixed reviews about this. My research has shown that obviously you're not going to disclose this information during the interview process, but be prepared to have that conversation if it should come up, because any effort to cover up that type of thing will certainly result in no job offer. So don't let a historical mistake hinder the job search. If you're unsure whether you have one, go to your local police station and ask them to process a criminal record check on yourself. If you have something on your record that can be pardoned, get it pardoned. Employers will review this information differently, but honesty is the best policy. If you have a criminal record and you were asked to sign a release to have a criminal record check done, be honest with them at the start. Remember that a candidate, you, must give permission for a criminal check to be done. So exactly what does a criminal background check look for? Is a poor driver's abstract or DUI offense covered in this type of check? A criminal record will show a criminal conviction. A DUI is a criminal offense. A poor driver's abstract, for example, is not. So getting back to our references, what can we do to ensure that we remain in the mind of the reference over time? Not only are employers contacted during the reference check, but previous direct reports may be contacted as well. So obviously it's important to keep in contact with people you want to use as a reference over the years. Your professional network is very important, obviously, and takes time to establish. Ensure anyone you would use as a reference is a LinkedIn connection. LinkedIn is a great way to stay connected with previous colleagues and employers. So here's a piece on new Canadians. So if you're new to Canada, you'll need to do some background check on yourselves. So make sure that you have your international degree verified by a third party that specializes in that. And the World Education Services is one example, and they, I think, are based in New York City. It can take some time, so do it in plenty of time before you're ready to actually apply for positions and reach out to your network. So depending on where in the world the reference checker is calling, it can take a long time. So make sure you have all that information available up front. So what role, getting back to our previous conversation that Lottie talked about in terms of resumes, what role does that resume play in the background check process? So understand that the resume is used during the background check. Many hiring managers and recruiters will use the resume in the background checking process. So please, I urge, do not misrepresent yourself, because they will be confirming your position, responsibilities, and dates of employment that you list on your resume. And the last thing you want to do is misrepresent yourself and then risk losing out on a job offer as a result of this. Another trend in reference checking today is about the top fold search. So that's the social media check that most recruiters and hiring managers will do either before they invite you in for an interview or after you've had one or two interviews with them. They're going to be looking on various social media platforms to see what, if anything, concerns they have about your candidacy. And this is just a brief example. A colleague of mine interviewed and made an offer to a production assistant in her company. And she liked the guy, thought he was great. He interviewed well. And someone in her department did a Facebook check on this individual. And his profile photo was him standing in front of a vehicle with a gun in his hand or under his arm. So she went back to him and, you know, indicated that they were very concerned about this, and he ended up removing the photo from Facebook. But, you know, thinking about the things that are out there that are open to the public, and even if you have security features locking down your social media accounts, know that they're not always foolproof. So being aware of what's out there that could impact your brand is very important. So to wrap up, what can you do to improve your reference strategy? So first of all, identify 5 to 7 references that can speak to your competencies. We say 5 to 7 in case your hiring manager can't get hold of the 3 that they usually try to get. So identifying 5 to 7 is a perfect number to ensure that the hiring manager will reach someone who can speak on your behalf. Keep in touch with your references over time through LinkedIn. Obviously, other ways are important too. Face-to-face, coffee, letters, emails, that type of thing is very important. Send your references a copy of the resume and the posting so that they can speak on your behalf and so that they understand the roles and the responsibilities that you will be undertaking and the roles and responsibilities that you have undertaken since you worked with them previously. Really important to do. Keep your references informed of your progress. So if you are not offered a position, let them know. If you are offered a position, let them know that as well. And that way you can keep your relationship strong. This goes without saying, but sometimes I'm always amazed myself when I receive phone calls randomly from people who are asking me to offer a reference for someone who I haven't spoken with for a long time. Always ask permission. And here is a bonus tip. Get a proactive reference where your reference will proactively reach out to your targeted employer before you're offered the job. This can be a very powerful way to position yourself as the ideal candidate for the job. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Iris.
Thank you, Maureen, for sharing your valuable tactics on building and sustaining references.
Lorianne, we haven't heard from you in a while. In my experience, I will find that some individuals will feel somewhat shy about marketing their own personal brand, and they feel that they might sound boastful or arrogant. So what do you say to that, and how might you help clients work through this kind of challenge?
Iris, I think that a lot of job seekers are hesitant or unsure of how to sell themselves. They're concerned that they'll sound go over the top. They should identify really what speaks to them in terms of values. What expertise, what are they really good at doing as part of their field? And I think start with that as the basic foundation.
Interesting word, value. What's their unique value? Because if you think about it that way, Lorianne, it's not so much about the individual candidate and you know, me. It's what value can that candidate bring to the potential or prospective employer. Anybody else in the group want to add to Lorianne's comments?
Sure, it's Lotta. One of the things that I talk to with clients about branding and absolutely their resume for all the changes that have to be on their resume, which of course branding is a part of it, is that employers today are looking for people with confidence. And I think when you can display a resume that has your skills and accomplishments and you can identify with a brand that's authentic to you and articulate that, that it demonstrates confidence. So I find that when I use it in that those terms, my clients can get their head around it a little more easy, that it's not bragging, that it's authentic to who they are as an individual.
Good point, Lotta.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Tara. I've got a question about labor and market trends, and you talked about planned happenstance. And I wondered if maybe you could share with us, what would planned happenstance actually look like, and how can a career changer or job seeker use labor and market trends to make something really awesome happen in their career journey?
And the idea behind planned happenstance is that there are many opportunities available. And by positioning yourself, by knowing yourself, your strengths and interests, and by being able to pay attention to the labor market, you position yourself that when you see an opportunity, you're ready to take an opportunity. You can't necessarily have a 10-year plan, a specific 10-year plan, because you don't know what's going to happen in 10 years or even 5 years. Your plan can be to upgrade, to be positioning yourself well, to be making connections all the time, having your references laid out. Then when an opportunity arises, you're ready for it.
That's really interesting. It sounds like it's kind of marrying the structured, planful approach with letting things unfold with a little bit of serendipity also. So placing yourself, positioning, as you said, to be ready for things that are unexpected and to be able to capitalize on them. Okay, well, thank you. Lotta, I have a question for you on the resumes, and it's a sort of a practical outcome question. What evidence do you hear about the impact of the quote-unquote new style of resume you spoke about?
I've had a number of clients that I've been working with over the years where they're trying to get into a specific job role, which is a promotion for them, and they're having no calls whatsoever. And immediately when we alter their resume so they have a really good, strong brand, when they're showing accomplishment statement, that is the first step they have in getting phone calls. So that is the absolute most important thing, and that comes back to my earlier comment about confidence. When people are really struggling looking for work, they say, well, I've had an HR professional review my resume, and they're still not getting the calls that they want. Modifying the resume increases their confidence because it becomes a true reflection of their own personal accomplishments, and that in turn displays what they can do so they do get the calls back immediately.
Mm. Right, that process of establishing, you know, their successes and their accomplishments is already a big boost. And it was interesting what you said about the process, Lotta, that just by identifying all those things, immediately your confidence goes up.
Mm-hmm.
I know others on the call are experienced resume writers and coaches. Anyone else want to weigh in on what Lotta has said?
It's Tara. I was thinking as she was talking about the issue of visibility and tied with confidence is making the difference. So if you just change your resume and send it in, that'll have some effect. But if you are more visible and you present yourself more visibly, then that even seems to have more of an impact.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to move on to Maureen now. And as I said when you closed off, I thought you had some terrific guidelines and a lot of practical and logistics that I don't even think of really in terms of social media checks and background, et cetera. I did have one other question about the actual process of preparing a reference for an amazing reference call. So I know you said keep in touch, don't surprise anybody, send them the job posting and the resume in advance. What else might you suggest if the opportunity is there to really work with the reference to make this a great call when they get it?
Oh, what a great question. Well, I think Lotta just answered that question for us when she talked about, you know, in the resume piece about having great accomplishment statements and having conversations with the reference and reminding that reference when you worked together 15 years ago. Remember that project that we worked on, did a safety program that was highly successful. We worked on it together for 6 months. We, you know, put in long hours and we had terrific outcomes. In fact, we reduced our safety stats by 2 basis points over that quarter. So basically, you know, thinking about those accomplishments in terms of results, and therefore the reference can speak to the hiring manager or the recruiter or both in a very meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And I'm thinking even building on that, if the candidate has already been through the interview process, which is the normal order of things, he or she might have had a question that was really important to the interviewer. And maybe giving a heads up, I'm thinking, to the reference to say, I know they really care about this particular process and they want to know that I can nail it. So building on your point, Maureen, about the accomplishment and the specific, you know, situation that they remember when they worked together, if maybe giving them clues on which answers are going to be the most important. Would you think that's a good idea?
Absolutely. References are your strategic partners in the job search process. So, you know, they become your champion, or as I like to use today, the word avatar. So they're going to speak on your behalf. But if they don't know what you've been doing for the last 15 years or the last 5 years, it will be very difficult for them to speak to recent competencies or recent accomplishments. So keeping that relationship current, and you don't have to be, you know, meeting weekly by any means, but checking in quarterly, even annually, and really, letting your reference know what your career plans are is really, really part of a robust career management plan, in my opinion.
Wow, and how cool would that be if someone worked for somebody, 8 years ago, but the reference can actually say they've stayed in touch and I'm aware of ABCD that they've done since then? That would be very powerful, I think. Great.
Oh, absolutely. It goes back to what Lorianne said about, the value proposition and the branding, and, instilling confidence, really instills confidence in the employer when they get verifiable feedback from a former employee. Absolutely
great.
Important.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else want to weigh in on that one?
It's Tara. All of that works well when you're using, for example, LinkedIn. It gives you that ability to stay up to date, to endorse each other, to get endorsements, put a project on your profile and invite that person onto the project. So there's really practical ways of doing that, especially for people that don't want to pick up a phone and call someone after 6 or 7 years. So everything you said, but using social networking is a great way to do it.
Great point, Tara. Thank you. It's really fascinating how each of these four topics are so interwoven and they really aren't separate at all. I'm going to take this opportunity to close off the call.
Thank you for joining us for Career Professionals of Canada's Career Week Summit Beyond 2014. Lorianne, Tara, Lotta, and Maureen, we truly appreciate your sharing your time with us today. You have each provided listeners with valuable strategies and tactics to effectively manage their careers for the future. And thanks to Sharon Graham and Career Professionals of Canada for hosting this valuable summit. Have a great week.